Hey guys, welcome to Not Another Anxiety Show. I'm your host, Kelly Walker, and joining me today is my co-host from thebabybroad.com, Erica Latham. Hey.
Kelly, we have a show edit.
It's a serious business.
It's very serious. We have apologies to make to all of our listeners. I got an Instagram comment the other day that said, did she just say stockings? What did she say? Yeah, did she say stockings? Did she mean to say stocks? And I was like, what? Apparently, you said something about getting put in the stockade.
And people throw tomatoes at you.
You're throwing tomatoes at your head and your eyes through that piece of wood.
In the middle of the town center, you see it like a Renaissance fair.
Yeah, during the burning of the witch trials.
Yeah.
I am bilingual. I speak both English and Kelly. And so I was like, yes, like, see, Clado, like, yeah. And you actually meant not stockade. You meant pillory. Yeah. So it's like the same thing.
Or the stocks, apparently. The stocks.
I think you and I are both like, it's an S word. And you just asked Andy, and he was like, stocks?
What was a stockade again? It was like a fortress or something.
No, a stockade is a type of fence.
Oh, not like a fortress fence, right? That was just a fence. All right. No.
And I didn't even say anything to you. I just sent you a screenshot of what a pillory is. And I'm like, oh, you meant this. Turns out, who has used the word pillory
in 100 years? Nobody.
Not one person.
If you've used the word pillory in your lifetime, best of us.
But you also didn't say stockings, which I'm proud of.
I did say stockings.
Neither one of us are about.
I love how you didn't miss a beat, that you knew exactly what I meant. Thank you.
I was like, yeah, you put those stockings on. Throw those tomatoes at those stockings. Yeah, do your thing, girl. Good. Anyway. What are we doing today?
Well, speaking of my my fellow co-host here, who's a wizard with words, you recently wrote a blog about platitudes. Can you tell us?
I did.
Can you tell us a little more about your recent experience? Just for those of us that haven't had the pleasure of reading your most recent post.
Thank you. You can find this at thebabybroad.com.
Also, what's a platitude? I definitely
know what a platitude is. Right there. I know platypus is.
I know what a
seafood platter is. So a platitude is, it think of like a wooden sign you would get at like Cracker Barrel that says like live, laugh, love, or keep calm and carry on. Like, but platitudes are like usually a one-liner that has some sort of moral implication. 90% of the time it's something that someone would say whilst in line at a wake. You know, like, oh,
okay, I like that. That's a good,
you know what I mean? It's a lot of like grief stuff. People whip out a platitude. Nobody whips out a platitude faster than people standing in line at a wake. Like, oh, he died doing what he loved. Really?
Right.
Spearfishing?
Or he's at like, peace now, or
he's in a better place. Yeah. For real? Cause you know, we were at Disney, but, yeah, it's that, it's those one liners. And I was kind of doing some research on this because I actually do that once in a while, and in this case I wrote a blog about something I went through, like a hard time I was going through last week. I mean, I'm gonna be going through this for a while, but nothing crazy, everything's fine. But we all have those moments where it's, you're crying in the bathroom at work, and I was, you know, dabbing my little eyeballs, like, okay, get it together. And Linda walks in, Linda, who in her white sneakers walking around the parking lot, show everybody off. Damn it, Linda. And she doesn't know me, doesn't know what's going on. And she was like, oh, everything happens for a reason. And I just looked at her, gave her a slow ass blink. And I was like, okay, Linda, what exactly is the reason for this, Linda?
Please enlighten me, Linda.
Yeah, thanks, Linda. And what's another one? Something I bet Linda would say is, every clown has a silver lining. Linda, she's the kind of person who would tell you how many, like how much tangerines are on sale for at Price Chopper or some stupid thing. Anyway, so that's a platitude. And you and I was venting to you about everything that's going on in my life, and I told you about these platitudes, and you were like, I hate a platitude.
I hate platitudes. I hate that.
Well, you asked me to define it. You were like, define a platitude, I told you. And you're like, I hate a platitude. And you, with all the stuff going on in your life, have probably had more platitudes than Carter's got liver pills. I don't know what that saying means, but my mom used to say it.
People don't always know what to do with grief. So
they don't. And that was the point of my blog. Yeah. My point of the blog was, we don't know what to do in between when I stop sobbing, which I never sob. But in the between the sob and when you wind up to take a breath to say a platitude, that space in between that is where all the magic happens. If you can just not open your stupid mouth, Linda, and you can just nod and be like, whatever you're doing, I probably went through it and you're not alone. Like, that could be magical. But instead, we say platitudes. And anxious and depressed people, we get platitudes.
I think we all get fed well-meaning and well-intentioned platitudes when we're going through difficult times, right? Like,
yeah.
I remember hearing them, like, when I was in the throes of anxiety, when I lost both my parents, during, like, my difficult pregnancy delivery. So, you know, before we share our favorite or least favorite platitudes, I do, you know, just a little caveat. Platitudes are often well-meaning. They come from a place of others.
Oh, listen, we're not giving medical advice. You don't have to disclaim this. They suck. No.
Yeah, right. They suck. But, you know, it's just from that space of human connection and yada, yada.
The problem I have with platitudes is that it puts weight on the griever, if you will, even if you're like, if you're in the middle of a panic attack. Don't make me work.
Yeah,
don't make me work because Linda doesn't know how to like handle my tears. Hard like moment. It's not Linda's job. I understand. So let me just say this. That someone named Megan Devine wrote a book. I don't remember what the book's called. I'm sure it's wonderful, but it was about grief and it was about how we don't know what to do with grief. And her whole thing is
or suffering in general, right?
When I say this grief, book. I mean any kind of distress. Let's just say distress.
Yeah.
This book, apparently, her whole point of it is, and I loved this, she says that platitudes erase the second part of the sentence. So if you take a platitude, so let's just say like...
they invalidate our experience.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, well, it adds something else. It adds the word
shame.
So stop feeling bad. That's what they add. If you take... there's always a silver lining and you add, so stop feeling bad at the end of it. That's
it like implies, right, abnormality or shame or like
or impatience.
Right. Impatience,
like,
yeah.
Please, you know, hey, here's something wise to say, so now stop feeling bad. So if you can add, so stop feeling bad at the end of it, that's a platitude.
It's a platitude. I like that rule of thumb. And, you know, it's like you said, I think either A, others don't know how to be, like they're so uncomfortable around someone else's suffering, that for lack of a better word, instead of, hey, I don't know what to say, but I'm here, like for lack of better words or comfort, they just throw a platitude out there. Or it can be from people that seriously care about us so much that they just want to get us out of that.
I believe that. Yeah.
Right. Like it can be well-intentioned, like the people that love us most, mothers, right? Partners, friends, siblings, like, it's so funny because as much as I hate platitudes, and I will share my absolute least favorite, but I almost used my least favorite platitude with my sister during a challenging conversation a week ago. And I was like, oh God, like who caught myself there? But I knew it was just coming from a place of, man, she was just really suffering. And for whatever reason, I was finding that, you know, really hard, even though as a living, I'm like really my work, my living is about being with people in times of suffering. And
I know, but the people were close
still, right?
No, it's so hard with the people you're closest to.
Yeah.
It's the space gets smaller. It's so hard to hold space
for
people.
Mom, right? From being a mindful, like patient presence. I'm like, you just gotta, like, you know what you gotta do? You just gotta. And I'm like, oh God, where did that come from?
Yeah, the know what you ought to do kind of.
Like, you just gotta calm down. And I'm like, what? This goes against everything I believe in. But
I know
someone close to us is having such a hard time. It can be painful for us too, right? And it's pain can be an uncomfortable place for everybody. Distress, like loss, suffering can be an uncomfortable place for everybody. So it's just, you know, if you're just really pissed at Linda, it can help to remember it comes from a well-intentioned or an innocently ignorant place.
I'm going to say she's a tool, but everybody else, Linda's the worst. That's not her real name, but she's the worst. All right, so you go first. What's one of your air quotes favorite platitudes and why?
Okay. My favorite slash least favorite is when someone at leasts me.
I was hoping you were gonna say at least. It's my favorite.
I hate at least.
Yeah.
At least your babies are healthy. At least you have Andy. Yeah. At least your mom's not in pain. At least.
Oh no, you did not get that.
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna take my earrings off. Not in pain
anymore, right? Because she died from cancer. I hate at least. Everything about at least, like when I hear at least, it's like it negates my entire experience, it feels like, right? Mm. Like it makes me feel abnormal. It makes me feel like I should be more, it makes me feel like I should be something other than I am. And so with that, right, comes shame. It comes like questioning myself. And I just think it's important to know, like we can both be in pain, right? Like we can both be in grief, in pain, and grateful at the same exact time. One does
negate.
You can be suffering and sad and in pain, and it doesn't mean you're not a grateful person. It doesn't.
Right. We talked about this, the difference between gratefulness, being grateful, and gratitude. There's a difference. And but you can absolutely be grieving and still be thankful and grateful and all those things. The grief is not the problem.
No.
Oh, at leasting is bad. And when it comes to mental
health. That's what I almost said to my sister. Like I almost said,
Well,
at least. And I was like, ugh.
Now, that's not to say that if you're well-intentioned, just find a different way to phrase it. You can even acknowledge like, oh God, the scared part of me wants to say at least to this. But what I mean to say is, let me help you get altitude on the things that are going well. That's another way to rephrase it.
Even
what can I do?
What can I do? What might be helpful? Like anything you need. Want to just sit here? You know, like it's just, what can I do?
Yeah, I know. And I think with mental health stuff, because we get so entrenched in our stuff sometimes, people want to be like, well, you know, what's the problem?
They just want to get us out, right? Like,
you have a great job, a great family, great this, at least, blah. You know, when growing up, because I was Irish Catholic, Irish Catholic, my parents would say things like, not sort of at leasting, but count your blessings. You know, like, you know, you see that kid over there? You see that kid? That's not you. Count your blessings. You know, or, you know, those kids in China don't have peas, so you better eat them kind of thing. Kids in China do have peas, but, you know.
And I think it's we hear about like gratitude mindfulness practices, and it's not like we can't cultivate gratitude, but it is also about making room, right? Like suffering is relative. Somebody that has everything is still going to suffer. It's the human condition.
Well,
it's going to happen. So
that's why it's amazing that we're so confused when, like famous people in their lives or someone dies.
I blame pop psychology. That's like, if you have X, Y, and Z, everything's okay, you know, and
At least.
I hate at least.
All right, well, that's a good one. Right, I already said a couple of them. I hate this one. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
It's like, yeah, sure, in hindsight, but right now, it's definitely killing me, right?
Listen, I believe my struggles have made me a better, stronger, more resilient, amazing person.
But that's hindsight. That's not in the moment, right?
No, like, that moment, is not like, in the freaking moment. And I really, at no point would I ever wish a struggle upon a person. I wish that I knew. I'm like hell bent to help people understand that they don't need to like go through the things I went through at any point in my life with anything, not just anxiety, in order to live a fulfilled, happy life. I don't think you necessarily need that. I'm just saying, me personally, I'm thankful because I have no other choice to be, that the struggle that I had and will continue to have in my, you know, just what we have has made me this person. However, while you're in the middle of something, that's the last thing I want to hear.
Yeah.
Because first of all, anxiety felt like it was killing me. So
exactly, like
shove it.
Yeah, right. It feels like anxiety made me feel like, well, I'm like a ticking time bomb. I'm gonna drop dead any moment here. Like that's how anxiety.
And it's so dismissive of to me. So and maybe as people disagree. Maybe it's not
attitude-y.
It is. Like, well, I know you feel like you're dying, but you got to figure it out because this is going to make you stronger. How about like, oh, this looks really hard for you. Yeah. How can I support this while you're going through it or whatever? Yeah. Hate that one. It's a great Kelly Clarkson song, though.
Right? It's in the right moment, that message is like really exciting, right? A good song that you like dance to and you're like, yeah, woman power. I got this, right? It can be really empowering, but in the moment of a really hard, difficult, challenging, can't see the light at the end of the tunnel moment, like that is just more discouraging. It's just like, I don't know why we get uncomfortable with suffering and we try to get out of there. And even me, right? Even someone that is really comfortable sitting with my own or someone else's suffering, like I still almost use that platitude. Like
I get it. What's the next one of yours?
Okay, this is my other one. Cherish every moment with your kids. Goes by so fast. Listen, it's similar to my last platitude. I can both wish away the moments and be entirely grateful and bursting at the seams with joy for my kids. If my kids are throwing up on me all day, I'm going to go ahead and wish for better times. Thank you.
I was just thinking, like the last moment I think we talked about this was when your one kid started throwing up and you could literally set a timer for the next kid who was about to start to throw up. And you're like, I carpe diem my ass.
Yeah, you know? I'm not cherishing this moment, right? Like one does not negate the other. You can be disenchanted with a moment or looking forward to brighter times, and it doesn't mean you're ungrateful or wishing away the time. Like, you know, one does not negate the other.
Yeah. Right. Oh, all right. Mine. So you're the word you phrase you hated was at least.
Yeah.
And add a platitude at the end, but at least blah, blah, blah. My word is just. Ugh. So you're just in combination with a dictation. You're just nervous.
Yeah.
You're just stressed out. You're just this. Yeah. Are you effing serious? You don't know what just I am at all. You don't know my just. Get out of here. You know, I hate that word. I hate that we use that word to put ourselves down. Like I'm just 5'8". I'm not a supermodel, or I'm just plain. I just have brown eyes.
Just
like, whatever
did laundry today. That's it, right? Like it's...
Yeah. Oh, that's with new moms. Like,
oh God. Yeah.
I just, or only, or whatever. Or only another word. You're only nervous. Ooh. Are you serious? Because you don't know nervous.
Yeah.
I can do anything with nervous.
Yeah.
Feeling like I'm going to die is a whole nother story. You know, like,
this is actually terror. A distant cousin.
Name a thing. Like you're just going through a breakup, or you're just this. Don't tell me what maybe I haven't lost my entire family in a plane crash, but you know, knock on wood, Jesus. But that doesn't mean that what I'm experiencing is any less significant to me.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like, so relative, and it's so different for like, right. Like our experiences are our own, and to like presume, right, what someone else is. Ooh. It, again, it's, you know, platitudes that piss us off aside. What's the takeaway here? Like we can all get a little better, myself included, a holding space for someone, you know, another person or ourselves that's going through a difficult time, whether it's anxiety, grief, a breakup, a long day with twins, right? We can.
A long day talking to Kelly because she has twins.
Yeah, right. And we can also learn to ask for what we need in a hard moment. If someone's showering with platitude, if like someone is showering us.
You know what's funny?
Especially if it's someone we care about, right? Like, listen. Thank you. I understand where you're coming from, but here's what I really need.
Yeah, that's hard. And that's work that's on you now. But I got to tell you, this last couple of weeks, I think the reason I've been able to move through some of these emotions so fast is because I was just so tired. I just looked around and I wrote this blog and I just looked at my people and said, listen, thank you. However, I think you mean well, but here's what I need. I need space. I need fatty food. I need a lot of Netflix. I don't want to have a girl's night where we sit and talk about my feelings, but I would love someone to take me to the movies and buy me popcorn. You know, I would love to be with people and not speak a word. And then I can't wait to burst into tears when I'm ready or whatever, you know, name a thing you need. But that dismissive, it's a double.
That's what platitudes are. Grief. It feels dismissive. It's like shame inducing. It's, and it's disconnecting most of all, because what do we want? What does anyone want when they're going through a really hard, challenging, difficult time? When we're suffering, we want to connect. So this is an interesting piece of the fight or flight response. Like, yes, we do get a rush of stress hormones like adrenaline, cortisol, norepinephrine. Like, we get a rush of stress hormones when we're in fight or flight mode, but we also get a rush of oxytocin, right? Which is the connection hormone. It's our body's natural, intuitive way of telling us, seek connection, seek support. And those are all things we're wired to want when we're having a hard time. So if someone throws platitudes at us, or if we accidentally throw platitudes at someone, we're disconnecting, right? It's a disconnect. It's the opposite of what any of us really want or need in that moment. And connection looks a little different for all of us, right? We might not want to sit there and talk about our feelings. Like, I might want to go to like an axe throwing range, you know, or do an intense hike, sweat it out, right? A kickboxing class.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
What? There are axe throwing ranges?
Oh, yeah. Kelly, haven't you
so
seen that?
Have I you love seen you so much.
Haven't you seen it's really cathartic. But it was actually on the Netflix show, is it New Moms, I think it's called? And I was like, yes, these ladies are doing it too. Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like super prepared. I have notes for shows. And then you throw something like that or like stockings in. And my life is thrown off kilter. You know what, though? You know what? Things could always be worse, Kelly. Oh, God, I hate us. Any other ones that you loved?
Happiness, those are my
choice.
God.
Things could always be worse. They're in a better place.
I think we hit on some of that. You know, when you do this on that Instagram thing, you're posting whatever it is.
I love it.
If other people want to share.
I want people. I know. Facebook. Instagram links to Facebook, but Instagram is really where the show's at. So, you know, hop on there. But love to hear people like list out their platitudes.
Yeah.
Oh, please. God, I love a platitude.
And you know what? We won't hit you with a platitude back. So there's.
I might.
Just to be a
I
jerk.
Might. And then prayer hands. Like hashtag blessed.
Gross.
Too blessed to be stressed. Stop feeling sad. Freaking Linda.
People have, like, it's just an asinine understanding of human psychology when they post stuff like that. It just drives me nuts.
I've been known, but I also like the ones that are, like, you know, like, the really sarcastic, where it's, like, a misty mountain in the background, and then in cursive writing, it just says, inspirational quote taken out of context, and then that's it, you know? That's going to be the picture for this, yeah.
Yeah, I want that.
Well, thank you for letting me vent about Linda, that, oof.
Ooh. That's such and such.
That's so and so. That's stockings.
Oh, that's our episode. Thanks so much for tuning in today. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe and take a minute to write a review on iTunes so that we can reach and support more people. If you have a question you'd like answered on the show, please visit notanotheranxietyshow.com. You can also get a free ebook there by subscribing to my newsletter. And until next time, remember, be kind to yourself.
At JCPenney, we make fashion count for everybody and everybody. Get pieces that fit and flatter at prices that feel good. Mix easy on cargos with breezy tops or polish your look with soft suiting. Step into JCPenney brands that get you, like St. John's Bay and Worthington, each in women's petite and plus sizes too. Guys, you're good to go in brands like Mutual Weave, J. Farrar, and Stafford. Style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count. Yeah.